Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mahindra & Mahindra Q1 FY20 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. The safe harbor statement stands as follows. Certain statements on this conference call with regard to the future growth prospects are forward-looking statements which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for giving us this opportunity. We have with us today Dr. Pavan Goenka, the Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy, Group CFO and Group CIO, other senior management personnel from M&M, including the IR team. I would now hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of M&M Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone on this call. I'll share some quick key updates on the environment along with financials for Q1 FY20. After my comments, Dr. Pavan Goenka will talk about the overall performance, giving some insights on both the industry as well as the auto and farm equipment sector. Let me first briefly talk about some macroeconomic updates. It's been a tough quarter for the global economy. The IMF has cut global forecast yet again, with growth now estimated to be around 3.2% in 2019 versus 3.6% in 2018. The U.S. is expected to grow at 2.6% in 2019. Fed have declared a quarter-point rate cut and mid-cycle adjustments, though it's not given a guidance for future movement of this rate. China grew 6.2% this quarter, weakest in 27 years. And the global economy continues to face major risks leading to ongoing trade wars and geopolitical issues. The American president has imposed new 10% tariff on 300 billion Chinese goods. On a positive note, commodity price remained benign this quarter. India had also mirrored a broader global trend. Our growth has slowed down quite sharply to a 20-quarter low. Although the outlook now revises 6.9% GDP growth. Trade also underperformed. And while IOP improved slightly to 3.7 from 2.2, service sector slowed down for the first time in 13 months. The RBI has cut a cumulative 110 bps since the beginning of 2019, and CPI is 3.1% and WPI at a two-year low of 2.6%. Inflation outlook is within stated targets. Though the onset of monsoon was delayed, the deficit now stands to about -7%, and things are from the monsoon trend looks to be little brighter than what it was at the beginning of the season. Let me share financials for Q1 F20. In a pensive environment, external environment, the domestic automotive segment degrew by 5.2%, while the tractor sales degrew by about 15%. However, we were able to grow our market share in all segments, more details of which will be shared. And therefore, on the back of that and tractors where we were similar volumes as previous year, have looked at a net revenue of 12,805 crores, which is a degrowth of -4.1% versus Q1 F19 revenue of 13,358 crores. EBITDA at 1,794 crores is 15% lower than Q1 F19, which was 2,110 crores. OPM was at 14%, lower by 180 basis points versus previous year of 15.8%. At this point, I just wanted to pause and share some context. Last year was probably one of the best quarter where we've seen about 20% plus top line growth and 50% plus bottom line growth. So when we compare versus that kind of performance, the OPM, which was also probably the highest for some time at 15.8, the 14% looks lower. However, when you compare that with, say, Q4 or sequentially, then the OPM is higher at 14% as compared to 13.5% in Q4. So therefore, it is on a standalone basis or on a separate basis, it's a good performance. And it is being pitted against a quarter previous year, which was probably the best. PBIT at 1402 crores is lower by 25% against Q1 F19. You notice that the degrowth at PBIT level is sharper than the operational cash level of EBITDA, and that is due to higher depreciation and amortization of new products. PBT before EI at 1371 crores is 25% lower as compared to previous year. Tax rate remains steady at about 30%. Considering above, PAT before EI at 918 crores is lower by about 26%. We got there are two aspects, operating income, which is what you heard till now. However, our investing income also starts to kick in when we are able to realize gain out of our portfolio. And that's what happened to our portfolio, one through a buyback mechanism and one through a benefit trust, encashing some of the investment, has given us an overall benefit of more than 1,200 odd crores, which then takes our PBT to 2,738, which is about 48% higher than previous year, and PAT at 2,260 crores, 80% higher than previous year. On a segmental basis, the huge turmoil in the market is also felt in both segments. Revenue of auto segment 7,986 crores, lower than F19 of 8,033 crores, but only slightly, probably 0.6% lower. Segment result, 518 crores is a drop of 31.6. If you look at the EBITDA margin, the degrowth is only in single digits. From that to its growth, degrowth of 31.6% is mainly because of the higher amortization and depreciation cost. FES segment of 4,382 crores is lower by 12.5 as against Q1 F19 revenue of 5,007 crores. Segment result at 845 crores is lower by 19.2 versus last year. So it is basically the drop which is coming out of lower volume, managed to a large extent by cost, but not to the extent, complete extent, because the revenue leverage works negatively for FES on a very sharp drop at 12.5%. We are comfortable with debt equity ratio, which is same as last year. And now let me move towards consolidated financials. On consolidated financial at 26,289 crores, the top line was flat at bottom line, PAT after NCI level, the consolidated profit of 777 crores is a degrowth of 43%. Some of you has expressed concern on the overall consolidated results that auto sector and financial sector has seen reasonable, very high degrowth. And yes, that's a fact, because that's how you see it. In financial sector, it's an NPA provision. We hope that this provision is kind of is in lieu of four quarter provision, because we have gone from 5% NPA to 7% NPA. Assuming we are able to manage the 7% NPA till year end, there will be no provision required for next three quarters. So then this quarter's provision could, in a normal sense, could have been done over 4 quarters, but the way Indian accounting standards, new standards apply, we have to provide as and when it goes up. Some bit of comfort, last year, June, the NPV was around 9.5%, and this time it is about 200 basis points lower. So from that point of view, year on year, the NPA is lower, but from March it is slightly higher, and this is what is causing the problem. So this should hopefully go away. The second big bucket is SsangYong, which had, and I'm sure during question answers, and Pawan will elaborate on this. This is both domestic and export issue, and therefore it all came in this quarter, and there is a sharp decrease. However, countermeasures are being put in place, and hopefully the domestic market and the export market will also start to have a little better response in the coming quarter. So that that kind of sharp drop that you see in one quarter may not necessarily replicate in all, in the other quarter. So that should put some bit of comfort to your concern that I heard from some quarters. In the meantime, TechM posted 959 crores, which is a 7% growth over previous year. And Mahindra Holidays, last year was an overall loss in consolidated. This year has turned to black and posted a profit of 4 crore. Those two did very good in a very tough environment. So with that, I will sum it as a challenging quarter, but a reasonably resilient performance by M&M and with some bright stars for future. With that, I now turn the microphone over to Dr. Goenka. Doctor, are you on
that? Yeah, thank you, Partha. The August call is always very challenging for Partha and me because we have the board meeting, then media meeting, then AGM, and then the analyst meet. We are just returning from the AGM. I'm still on the way, but just about 2 to 3 minutes away. So, Raghunandan, if it's possible, rather than me starting my opening remarks on the car, is it possible to take a couple of questions and then I will be arriving in 3-4 minutes and then do it from the conference room?
Sure, sir. Nirav, we can open the call for Q&A and then, management can again give the opening remarks.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Pramod Amte from CGS-CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question for Dr. Ong. In the meantime, I can ask, what's the specific depreciation, why it has remained so elevated as the fourth quarter? If you can quantify, and will it sustain going forward in the coming quarters?
Yeah, so the higher one is your full amortization, yes, for all the 3 product launches is seen this quarter.
Yes.
So, and the next quick answer to your question is, yeah, this will be the new normal in terms of absolute value. Okay. You also had a question for Dr. Goenka. Please go ahead and ask.
Yeah.
What he said is, sure, that he will make the opening statement when he comes here, but he can answer your question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One is with regard to, if I heard you right in some of the media interviews, you are also one of the proponents for short-term GST rate cut to revive the sector. In that regard, I wanted to check what is the background under which you are posing it, considering that this will add a further uncertainty in terms of buyer mind and it defers it. And considering that all the manufacturers carry already inventory in books, so to take an immediate hit versus the local supply chain makes this realize over a period of time. So in that context, how does this short-term can benefit the industry?
Okay. Okay. He will cover it in the opening remarks. So.
Okay. Sure.
And if
no issues. Not, I'll join the queue, questioning queue, and maybe he can continue with the opening remarks.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot. My first question pertains to the tractor industry outlook, and because I think things have moved quite dramatically here, and some of your competitors are now talking about possible 5 to 10% decline as well. So if you can just help us understand how's the first 4 months, what's your read? Monsoon definitely has done much better than what was expected compared to when we spoke last. So if you can just share some incremental color on where do you see the tractor demand incrementally?
Out of sequence, this also is going to be covered in my opening remarks.
Pawan, why don't you start the opening remark? I think it will be better because...
I'm just about to reach the conference room in 2 minutes.
Okay, then I'll ask accounting question to Partha till then. Thank you. Partha, if you can just help us understand the breakdown of the Sangyeon losses, because it seemed to be a fairly sharp jump. And if you can just help us understand, is there a bit of one-off, write-off or anything like that? And on the second bit on the depreciation for the standalone entity, will it be logical to expect the depreciation to take another step up when the BS6 products start rolling out and when you start amortizing for the BS6 technology as well? And where would you see that kind of settling in that case?
So first and foremost, Sangyong... The losses, there is not, I'm not seeing too much of one-offs there. It's a top line which is an impact, and that top line impact is what is flowing through the bottom line. There is, because this has happened quite dramatically in Q1, both the domestic as well as the export markets, both of them have done, and also currency has had some small role to play in it as well. So therefore, net result is what you see. The change in the impact, on the other hand, is being looked at in terms of how do we look at internally as cost control, externally as export market, and how does the domestic market we can enthuse, is the three-pronged thought process they have going forward. Okay, and I'll just kind of ask Pawan to supplement on that question when he starts. Sangyong. The second part of your question was depreciation. Let's finish that and then we can go to it. So your depreciation was saying now the new normal, this is the big expense. So therefore, this is the new normal which is in terms of this. Your question is next year Q1 when the BS6 starts, is there another kicker that comes in? I think yes, there will be a certain amount of expense which will go up, but it will be next year first. Second is, that, you know, something has the habit of dropping off or something comes in. Pramod, if I'm going to make any further statement on this, what I would like to do is to have thought process clear internally, and then I'll put it up for everybody and then talk about it. But it is not in the same quantum or in the same kind of step up that we see, anywhere close to what we see right now.
Yeah.
I'm here now. So let me just sort of finish up the last question and then I will go to my opening remark. And again, my apologies for being out of sequence here. On the DNA for BS6, as Partha mentioned, that the quantum of DNA is not very large. It is like developing one new product in terms of quantum. And given that there will be a price increase, though we don't know right now and cannot say right now how much, given that there will be a price increase, revenue will go up per vehicle. And therefore, we would think as a percentage term, it should not be a hit, but in absolute term, it will go up. Okay, so let me start off by reiterating that the last quarter has been a challenging quarter for the industry, both automotive and tractor, and everyone knows that, so I'm not saying anything new. The industry, as you well know, without the two-wheeler, has degrown 15.3% auto industry. And this has been about the worst degrowth that we have seen since 2001 in one given quarter. The passenger vehicle have been harder hit with 18.4% degrowth. HCV have been even harder hit with 32% degrowth, and that for HCV this is the worst degrowth in 23 quarters as a percentage and the lowest volume in 8 years. For tractor, we have seen two consecutive quarters of degrowth. Q1 F20 was a degrowth of 14.6%, though we must point out that this is on a fairly high base that we had last year. And if we were to compare with F18, we have seen we have a slight growth from 18 to 20. Now, the question that everybody asks is, okay, so what is causing this and what is going to happen? How do we get out of it? So I have already talked about sort of three buckets of reasons why we are seeing degrowth both in the auto and the tractor industry. The first bucket is the financing related, the second bucket is transaction cost related, and the third bucket is the general sentiment and that is prevailing today with customers. Now, the financing related concern that we have is multi-pronged. It is not just about liquidity or about interest rate. The main problem is about the norms for financing. It's not about availability of money for consumer financing. It's more to do with norms of financing, which have been made tighter because of the various regulations and expectations that have come up, especially for NBFC. And as a result of that, approximately 10 to 15% of likely customers who would have gotten financing, say, a year and a half, 2 years ago, are not getting financing now. The second concern is that the LTV, both in the auto and tractor, is loan-to-value ratio, which is very important because that's what determines how much money the customer has to put on the table to buy the vehicle or the tractor. That LTV ratio generally has come down significantly in the last 12 to 18 months. For cars, for example, from what would have been about 90% to it is about 80% now on an average. And the third one, of course, is the rate cut of policy rate cut has not been passed on to the consumers. We have seen another 35 basis point today. And I certainly hope that that it will lead to lower rates on the ground. The transaction cost concern is not coming from something that happened overnight. It's coming from what's happening over the last 2 or 3 years, where slowly there have been more and more things that have had led to cost increase. The regulatory impact, every regulation that has been put in is justified in its own way, but the cumulative effort is effect is that the cost of the vehicle has gone up and the price therefore has gone up. The registration rates have gone up and are further likely to go up with the policy or draft policy that has been announced. The insurance cost has gone up because of the three-year insurance that is required now even for four-wheelers, of course for two-wheelers and three-wheelers. And also the TDS that happens that is not actually cost of the vehicle, but it does increase the transaction cost. So all of these things cumulative are making for a vehicle a little bit less affordable than what they may have been 12 months, 24 months ago. And of course, inflation, that is commodity prices, also played a role in it because of very high commodity price, the cost went up significantly. The general sentiment, of course, is there because of economic slowdown, because of lower government rural spending. The rural spending had slowed down before the election in the quarter four last year, and it has not yet come back to the level that was prevailing prior to that. And the monsoon week started off, and as Partha mentioned in his opening, that things are looking up on that, and that's one of the green shoots that we see here. The Sensex fall obviously always has a negative effect on sentiments and the people's the tendency to buy a high-ticket item. So these are various things that contributed to general sentiment, and there is no specific answer to it, but I'll talk a little bit more in a minute. Basically, I think from the time of pre-election, where we had kind of said that things on the standstill waiting for the election, to the time of the election result, the budget, the monsoon, none of these things have really helped the industry in terms of getting back on the normal growth path. Now, question is, what could be done? What might be done? Before I talk about that, I should talk about some green shoots that we see. Obviously, we talked about the monsoon, where as of yesterday, the deficit is down to 6%. The kharif sowing now is deficient only by about 6% from what was 18-20% just a couple of weeks ago. Commodity prices are helping now, benign commodity prices. In fact, in the quarter, there have been somewhat of a reduction in overall commodity prices. Inflation under control, well below budget. An upcoming festive season, of course, we look forward to that. Maybe towards the later part of the year, there will be some pre-buying. The most important thing is that last year, as you will recall, that we talked about tale of two halves. Last year, the second half was a smaller base. In auto, it was a degrowth. In tractor, it was flat. And therefore, the base effect that we are seeing in the first 5-6 months of the year will actually help us in the next 6 months of the year. And therefore, we should be able to see some growth there. Now, what I want to talk about is Mahindra's performance. I won't go into the detailed numbers too much, but I want to give more of a qualitative feel of what's happening in the industry and what needs to happen. But I can talk about quantitative numbers when in the Q&A. But good thing for Mahindra, and this is what we're very happy about. Of course, the volume going down is never good news, but good thing in context of where the industry is, that we had we were the best performing passenger vehicle company in terms of lowest degrowth compared to others. Our degrowth was only about 2-3% compared to an industry degrowth of about 14-15%. We were the second best performing commercial vehicle, again in terms of the lowest degrowth, and we were the best performing three-wheeler company in terms of, again, our degrowth being lower than the industry degrowth. In fact, we grew on three-wheeler. Okay. Three-wheeler also, we had a smaller degrowth compared to industry. And therefore, we have increased market share in each of these segments, which is good. And I think this has happened because of the new products that we had launched in the previous year. Given the slowdown, I must admit the new products have not given us the kind of volume that we had talked about. But clearly, relative to the industry, they have performed what we had expected them to do. In the tractor, market share has been maintained, which is very good because the first quarter market share is always very high. And when we maintain the high market share, it gives us an opportunity for upside when in the second half, where our market share traditionally is low. And therefore, we have an upside there in market share. And very important that in the tractor, we have maintained gross margin in spite of the industry being down 14% and volume being down 14%, which is always very hard to do when you have volume down to maintain the gross margin. Good thing is that our inventory, both in the auto and tractor, is reasonably under control. We probably are maybe 2,000 to 3,000 vehicle, 2,000 to 3,000 tractors above what will be our ideal dealer inventory, and therefore nothing to be concerned about. In tractor, PBIT hit is lower than the known industry figures, and in auto, PBIT hit is in line with the industry. And our PBIT hit in line with the industry is more because we had three new product launches, and new product always take a little bit time before they get to the steady state level of margins. And therefore, the PBIT hit for auto is not because of slowdown. It's because of the model mix, which has a higher level of new product. Now, the question is, what can be done about it? There are many things that we have been talking about. You're aware that SIAM has officially made a request to the government to do a few things. Today, there was a meeting that the Honorable Finance Minister had with the industry. I'm not aware of the outcome of that meeting, but basically what we're looking for is help in improving the situation in terms of financing, either through improved liquidity, through in some sense nudging the banks and NBFCs to provide financing and to help reduce the, reflect the policy rate cut on the on-ground financing rate. Second one is to look at some of the road taxes that are going up, registration that is going up, and bring some rationality into that so that we do not have this constant increase in these levies. Third is to look at GST, and we have, somebody had asked the question earlier. SIAM has requested for the GST to be 18%. I can certainly see that 18% will be very difficult in the current scenario because the government of India does not have that kind of elbow room. But we would expect to hope to see some kind of GST reduction. And why we are saying this is that this is the fourth slowdown or let's say third slowdown that we are seeing in 12, 13 years. We had one in 2008-09, then in 13, 14, and then again in 19, 20. And the previous two times, the government of India had reduced excise duty by 6% once and 4% once. And those who keep track of such things, we had a dramatic recovery of the auto industry immediately after that excise cut. We in the industry feel that if something similar was done this time, there will be a turnaround that will happen of the industry. Of course, we leave it to the government of India to take a call on whether it is justifiable or not. The vehicle scrappage policy, not something that can be announced overnight, because there have to be proper planning and understanding and defining the rules for it, but something that we have talked about. Any other measure that will help to reduce the transaction cost without necessarily hurting the government revenue, such as insurance going back to 1 year from 3 years, such as the TCS that we have or the TDS that we have on vehicle purchases above 10 lakh. If those could be rolled back, it does not hurt government revenue, but it will certainly reduce transaction costs and therefore increase the volumes in the industry. And finally, industry outlook. So on the tractor side, we believe that the worst is over. We have seen a 14% degrowth in the 4 months up to July. But from August, which is not a big selling month, the selling month will start from September, we should start seeing some improvement in volumes. We are expecting right now a 6 to 8% growth for the remaining 8 months. That is from August to March. That, if you did the math, will come to approximately flat industry for the year. 14% degrowth up to April, July, 6 to 8% growth from August to March, leading to roughly a flat industry from April to March. But there are some upsides in this. Upside is if the rains continue to be good, as they are, and right now the forecast for August and September is to be normal monsoon, then there would be some sentiment improvement that will happen, and that will definitely could give us some upside to what I've just talked about. And there's also an upside that rabi crop, given that the monsoon will end well, rabi sowing could be very good, and then the lower base effects could help in some regard. So there's some upside to it, but roughly about flat industry is what we're saying on tractor. On the passenger or on the auto side, I think we are going to have to refrain from making any forward-looking estimates of what might be. There are some scenarios that we have built, but many of these scenarios are subject to what kind of intervention happens from the government of India. Therefore, we will be in a better position to talk about once we hear anything in terms of what kind of interventions will the government will do, and then we can perhaps talk to you or talk about it in the media on what is our expectation of growth. But right now, July month, as you know, was even worse than first quarter, and from what I could remember, July month is amongst the worst months that we have seen ever in the last 18, 20 years as a single month. So some kind of turnaround is definitely required. The good thing is that we have performed well within the industry situation that we have, and we have reasons to believe that that difference that we have seen up to the month of July will continue, because we have fairly strong product portfolio right now in all segments. Even in trucks, we had launched the Furio truck last year, which should also help us. So all segments, LCV, SCV, passenger vehicle, and trucks, we have a reasonably good portfolio. And fortunately, our dealership, you have heard about the dealership closures in the media. We haven't had too many dealerships close for Mahindra. Our number is in single digit. So we are hopefully going into the coming month, the festive month, with a fairly strong position within the industry. So I stop here and go back to Q&A.
Did I answer two questions?
Yeah, I answered one. Yes, both I've answered, yes.
Thank you very much.
I may just want to take a few minutes on electric vehicle, by the way, because I'm sure that question will be asked, so might as well cover it in my opening remark. Is that okay?
Right.
Okay. So electric vehicle is clearly where the government of India is putting a lot of trust. And for Mahindra, it is good news, because we still are leading in terms of the products that we have made available that we have launched, the overall fleet that we have, which is 5,000 vehicles on ground, overall kilometers that we have run with our product, which is approximately 135 million e-kilometers we have behind us, and the products that we have in the pipeline. So we are quite happy with it, and we do believe, as I have said in the media, that we do believe that with the latest GST cut, at least for three-wheelers and at least for shared application of four-wheelers, shared mobility application of four-wheeler, the electric vehicles now become affordable. And I'm sure we'll see more and more launches happening, which will help to grow the electric vehicle market. I stop here.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Ranjit Jaiswal from Sanford Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the SsangYong. So I guess we have been making losses. My question is, how are we going to tackle the issue and what is the recovery plan for the company? And my second question is on dealer financing issues. So are we safe? Are we witnessing any challenges in terms of availability of dealer finance, and is there any constraint on inventory level for the dealers?
Okay, so let me take the second question first. We are not facing any serious dealer financing issue. In fact, Mahindra's auto dealer are fairly well capitalized and have a good amount of equity in the business, and therefore they're not facing much of a problem. But it is generally a concern for the industry that some of the dealers are facing financing problem. And one of the reasons many dealers are shutting down is that also, that dealerships are facing financing problem. As I said earlier in the opening remark, that our overall inventory number of days is well managed both in the automotive and tractor. We are probably maybe 2,000 to 3,000 more than where we would like to be, which is about 1.5 to 2 days. That's nothing to be concerned about. And therefore, inventory is not a concern, and it is not putting pressure on dealer finances. Now, the question on SsangYong. So SsangYong, if you recall the conversation that we had in the first quarter, I was very optimistic about where SsangYong was headed, and we were looking for a very good year in terms of financials as well as volume. Now, in the last 3 months, just like in India, Korean market also has slowed down, and there has been a significant reduction in volume because of that in Korean market generally and for SsangYong specifically. Similarly, many of the global markets where SsangYong is a strong player have also slowed down. For a company which is -2% kind of PBT, any change in volume swing has a high percentage impact on profit loss. For a company like Mahindra and Mahindra Auto business, if there is a little volume swing, it can be easily absorbed. For a company like SsangYong, any volume swing becomes large. So it really is what you see in quarter two is just the effect of the volume drop that has happened. Other than that, there is nothing in terms of the P&L or balance sheet that is a cause of concern. The expenses are well controlled. Both waste cost and other fixed expenses, the variable expenses are reasonably well controlled. The DNA is high for the same reason that DNA is high for Mahindra as a percentage. So if you were to look at Q2, for example, you would find that in terms of overall, I don't have the DNA number here, but in terms of overall EBITDA, you will still see a positive result. Do you have it here? I don't have the EBITDA number here, but that's the primary reason. Now the question that you asked me, okay, so that's fine. What are we going to do about it? So what we're doing is clearly sort of doubling up on our marketing effort in the domestic market, where we still have a pretty good market share, and we have consistently, I shouldn't say pretty good market share, but consistently growing the market share. And we continue to do that, and we need to ensure that we keep that growth of market share up even in declining industry, and try and get as much as possible increase in volume for the domestic market. And then we are targeting some specific export markets and trying to see, get better volume in those export markets, including India, where Altruis G4 is sold. And if Altruis G4 volume goes up, it does positively affect or help SsangYong. We continue with our effort for new launches that we have talked about in the past. And clearly, right now, with the Q2 P&L being below what we would have liked to see or below what we expected, there is tremendous effort going on in SsangYong to cut costs anywhere the cost can be reduced.
We stopped by 5,000 and we were only coming to show retail growth.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict one question per participant so the management can answer all the questions for the participants. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question pertains to commodity cost benefit. Have we seen anything in first quarter and what's the outlook for coming quarters? And in same light, the kind of price increases which we have taken?
So in the first quarter, we have seen a negative material cost. That means the material cost has gone down slightly, both for auto as well as tractor. I don't have the precise number with me, but it will probably be of the order of
-0.5%
is the effect of commodity prices going down. And we do expect the same trend to continue in the second quarter onwards. We have taken a small price increase both.
Yes, sir. For ABS, we have taken a small price increase on
tractor. So we have taken a small price increase both in auto and tractor. And this is to make up, in a way, for the price increase deficiency or gap that we had from last year, where with the very high increase in commodity prices, we were not able to pass on all of it in our pricing. So the lower commodity prices or the degrowth of commodity prices is slightly helping us, somewhat helping us to get our deficit from last year and taken care of.
Okay, so do we expect further RM cost benefit or this is about...
The current estimate is that RM cost will further reduce during the year. And this is always, whenever you have a degrowth, you will see that because the demand goes down for commodities, and when demand goes down, the price will go down. So I would rather see a growth cycle come back than the RM cost going down. So if both happen, nothing like it, but if one of the two has to happen, I'd rather see growth.
Understood. Okay, sir, great. Thanks. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a question on investments. When I look at the consolidated results for the full year, there were some investments which had fairly large losses. Would you be able to call out if there were some one-time items there? And related to that, is there a case for exploring a different capital structure for making these investments? Just some thoughts around that as well.
Okay. So first about in terms of losses, clearly, you know, last quarter and in the last year or the last year saw some unprecedented and one-time impacts in the losses that you see. You know, while we won't call out individually, let's say, you know, if you're seeing loss-making subsidiaries unlisted, and they were about half of the losses, you could kind of say, were due to the one-time impacts. And we may want to go, I mean, if it is the concern which you wanted to address, then we can look at it as a separate call to kind of address that queries. And Sriram, just find out if that is there. Right? But roughly half of the loss is coming from one-time impact, and therefore you may not see that on an ongoing basis. And the other, you know, are areas where we have already said that we are looking as an investment phase, and then it will come up. The second question of yours was around capital cycle as well as way of capital. I'll try and understand your view from you. But roughly we were looking at a sum of parts. So the investment that we made in any company initially would tend to have the losses, and then they will come to profit. If part of the solution is invest less in the first phase and then go to majority or something similar, I'll try and understand and see how I react to that one. Is that okay?
Sure, sir. Probably we can discuss that offline, but broadly the thought was that the valuations of the auto business look fairly depressed compared to the rest of the peers, which is, I would say, not the case in case of other businesses like financials and technology. So when we are making these investments, the investment horizon is fairly large. And sometimes, you know, we don't have enough visibility on those investments. And therefore, you know, the thought process is coming from there.
Okay.
One question to Dr. Goenka on BS6. Do you have any thoughts around what would be the diesel or petrol share in the SUVs segment after BS6? I know you are prepared fully on both, but any thoughts around that? And the fact that we have seen after the new launches some margin dilution, at least initially, should we be concerned that after BS6 there could be some risk to margins for the industry?
So let me just wrap up on the previous question. The auto that you talked about, that depression in profit, as Partha had mentioned in the opening remark, that is only because of SsangYong, and that is the effect of that one quarter last quarter. And other than that, auto has very small sort of plus or minus. There's nothing major. Correct, Partha? Major is coming from SsangYong. Okay. And we have investment, of course, in APF, which is clearly right now is an investment because the launch will happen only towards the end of 2020. And we have investment in Roxor. And these are all future investments that we are making. And I think it will be very wrong for us to not make these investments with the fear that first 2, 3, 4 years, they will obviously be consuming cash and will be loss-making. And if we didn't do this investment, then we will not grow. So in our view, this investment have to be done. The horizon of turning profitable, of course, that is something that we can sit across and talk about it. But we should not shy away as a company to make these investments because they will show losses for a few years. Okay, coming to your BS6, I do not know, Kapil, if you were there for the BS6 conclave that we did. But there we had talked in great detail about our preparedness for BS6 as well as given some hint on cost impact and talked about what might happen in terms of diesel petrol mix and what might happen in terms of the margins. Okay, so let me kind of try and repeat that because obviously this question is very important in the mind of many people. We believe that for 1.2 liter vehicle size, which will be the KUV 100 type or vehicles of that size, the diesel will probably not be a preferred powertrain because the cost increase as a percentage would be very high. And therefore, that segment will probably move to 100% petrol or near 100% petrol. Mahindra, for example, is not developing the diesel engine option for KUV 100. When it comes to the XUV 300 size, which is just sub 4 meter size, we would see a mix of diesel petrol, but probably a little bit more shift towards petrol than what we see right now. Right now in that segment, I think it's roughly about 50% petrol in the 4 meter segment. It's 74% diesel right now in that segment because one of the large selling vehicle does not come in petrol option. We believe that post BS6, this number may be closer to 50-50 than what we see today. Mahindra is also 75% diesel and 25% petrol in that segment, and we would see a shift towards petrol after BS6. When it comes to the size of the XUV or Scorpio size vehicle, we think that they will predominantly remain diesel because in that segment, the percentage increase in cost will not be as high because the increase in cost is same whether you are talking of a small engine or a large engine. The absolute increase and the percentage increase will be lower. And our belief is the customers would prefer to continue with diesel engine in that segment. And that's how we are planning our volumes and our capacities, keeping that in mind. Now, cost increase, we had, I'm not in a position to talk about that right now, but what we had said last time is that cost increase is better than what our target was when we started working on BS6 3 years ago. And in terms of margin, that will depend on what the industry situation is at that time. If we pass on the margin along with the cost increase, if we're able to do that, then obviously our profit, our revenue goes up for sure. Our profit also will go up, absolute profit, if you're able to pass on the margin. If you're not able to pass on the margin, we will at least protect the absolute margin that we have, absolute profit, but that will lead to a dip in margin. So it's too early to say what the scenario would be. It depends a lot on what kind of recovery industry has by that time and what kind of confidence automakers have going into the BS6 in terms of what effect it will have on the volume. So we have to consider the volume impact, profit impact, and profitability impact and come to educated judgment. I won't say guess, educated judgment on what is the right pricing that will optimize for us volume, profit, and profitability.
Thanks for the detailed answer, sir. Could you also give your thoughts on the LCV segment? What do you expect to happen there? Or do you expect it to...
Is it LCV?
Yeah. Yes, sir, LCV.
Thing, you know, just one question, that if maybe we are running short of time and there must be people on queue, so if others can ask, and then if we have time, we'll come back and answer this, if you don't mind.
No problem. Thank you. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you, Mr. Singh. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. So specifically, you were talking about the subsidiary investments. I just have specific questions on this Mahindra USA and Peugeot motorcycles. Of course, the losses have increased, and specifically in Peugeot, we have been incurring losses over the last 4 years. If you can help understand how do you look at these businesses going forward, and in Peugeot specifically, is there a business case to continue there? Thank you.
Okay, so Mahindra USA, or Magna as we call it now, clearly had a one-time bad year financially last year. And we had talked about that, we had taken a decision at time to clean up dealer inventory, which was very high, and we had taken a very tough call to restrict billing, which is what translates to revenue and profit. And allow retails to outpace billing. And I'm happy to say that from Q1 F19 to Q1 F20, that is in 12 months, the dealer stock has come down by 25%. Just about where we want to be, maybe in the 1,000 or so reduction, and that will bring us to where we want to be. And in the process, clearly, again, this company being a company that is at a marginal profit, 2%, 3% kind of profit or loss, any change in volume, billing volume, has a very significant impact on profit, and that's what happened last year. Now, this year, we are slowly getting back to normal billing. As we have gotten our dealer inventory pretty much on track, we are getting back to normal billing, and we have taken a lot of cost reduction measures to bring the company back on track. So we will not see profit this year, but you will see significant reduction in loss this year. By the time we get done, for example, in the first quarter, we already have approximately 50% reduction in loss from last year first quarter. And we would continue on that pace and maybe even accelerate that pace and end up the year at loss, but much less than last year. And we expect to be near break-even in the year after, that is in FY21, and certainly profitable in FY22. That's our plan on Mahindra USA. And we are right now quite happy with the way quarter four of last year and quarter one of this year have gone in terms of our efforts to both do cost reduction as well as to do inventory reduction at the dealership. As far as PMTC is concerned, we have gone through challenging times for a variety of reasons, which we have talked about in the past, so I will not repeat that. but I truly believe that the worst is behind us. Now, we had done last year major restructuring of manpower in our plant in Mandoyo, and that has been successfully completed. That was a one-time cost that we had incurred, and that will then lead to cost reduction in the future years. And we have also invested a lot of money in product development, including an electric scooter that, in fact, is developed in India and will be manufactured in India and shipped to France, to Europe. The first shipment is going this Sunday. And so we are just about starting that cycle, and some other new products have been launched. So we believe that in about a year's time, we would probably get to an EBITDA positive situation with CMTC. And given, and this is a very important point, given that two-wheelers are somewhat coming in fashion, I think that bodes well for CMTC business and Peugeot brand becoming stronger in Europe because of the performance of the four-wheeler. All those things go quite well for us. And therefore, it is a business that has been a difficult business for us, I must admit, up to now. But again, I'm repeating that we believe worst is behind us.
Right, sir. Sir, this Mahindra USA is a tractor business, right?
Yes, Mahindra USA is a tractor business.
Sir, just on this SsangYong, you have explained in length of the challenges facing there. Will there be any requirement for further investment to support the SsangYong business there?
Right now, we don't foresee that. Right now, we still have ability to borrow. We will have to obviously see how the performance is for the next 12 months and then take a call. But as you know very well, that for a company that has invested $1.4 billion roughly in product investment, product development since the time we took charge of the company, and the fact that we have invested only $130 million as extra equity is quite remarkable and speaks very well of cash management that the management in SsangYong has been able to.
Just one right, quick answer that I wanted to supplement what Pawan said earlier, that in its entire history, every year it has been able to make cash profit or EBITDA profit.
Yeah.
So any impact which is getting is on account of depreciation and amortization and not so much cash profit. So they are generating cash to keep investment. Okay. So I think somebody is typing.
Somebody is typing. Can you be on mute when you're typing?
Yeah. So okay. So it's closer to the mic. We are getting a background,
Okay, we are at 7:45, but 6:45, but since 7:45, since we started late, let's just do 5 minutes more, and we will have to wrap up in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Sir, can I squeeze in one question on the product pipeline? Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Nigam from Axis Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So on the demand outlook, you know, everyone's talking about a recovery in the second half, but what will drive that recovery? Is it only a pre-buy on a low base, or are there other factors that can improve on the ground and can bring buyers back? I'm talking about autos in general, four-wheelers.
Okay. So, as I said in the beginning that right now we are not in a position to give an outlook for the auto different verticals because of uncertainty that we see on what might happen. I have talked about few green shoots, that is monsoon, commodity price, and therefore no pressure on pricing, inflation under control, festive season coming up, and some pre-buying for BS6 and the low base. All of these things are there, but they don't necessarily add up to a very significant demand pickup. And therefore, we in the industry do believe that for demand to pick up, there is a one-time stimulus that is required, as has been the case in the past, and in 2013, 14, and 2008-9. One-time stimulus is required, not long-term, maybe 4 months, maybe 6 months. But if that happened, then and along with the green shoot that I talked about, then I think we would be in a fairly good shape. Without that, we will have to wait and watch to see whether all these green shoots are sufficient to change the sentiment and bring the demand back. If, of course, there is a significant real improvement in the financing situation based on the policy rate reduction, which is now 110 basis point in this calendar year, and we have seen nothing on the ground. So if that 110 basis point translates to ground, that is a huge difference. And if the banks and NBFCs come forward to start financing the way they used to finance 12 months, 18 months ago, then I think that's going to make a huge difference. But we have to wait and watch, and therefore we cannot make a projection right now.
But, you know, Dr. Goenka, on a related note, but if that one-time stimulus could be, let's say, a GST cut, wouldn't we rather have that with BS6? Because if we have it now, there will be inventory losses, and then you go into a cost increase again. So how are we, you know, pushing for that with the government?
So your question is very valid, and and what I have been proposing is that there should be a GST, because we cannot wait till April, and we cannot see the industry bleed for 9 more months. If 9 more months of bleeding happen, then I think everybody will be in a very weak situation. Therefore, we have to revive the industry here and now. And you're also right that we want to see that effect on BS6. So what I have been suggesting in some quarters is that we should do a GST cut now, but withdraw it after 6 months and then do it again at the time of BS6, which becomes a permanent cut. And the reason for permanent cut at that time is that since the selling price will go up, the revenue per vehicle will go up for the government. And if government decides that they will keep the revenue per vehicle same, then there's room for GST cut without reducing the overall GST collection. Now, the question that you talked about inventory and the effect in terms of losses, that is not true in GST regime, because in GST regime, unlike excise, where once you have paid the excise, it is gone, even if excise duty comes down. In GST, that is not the case, because final GST that you pay is on the final selling price. And therefore there is no loss of GST.
Okay, very helpful. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunjan Pithyani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I had just this follow-up on the auto segment margin. Now, this depreciation increase that you're talking about, there hasn't been a meaningful change versus last quarter, that is Q4 of F19. And there's been a very significant decline in the auto segment margin. So is it just the model mix, or is there something else? And should we look at this as the normalized levels of margin for the auto segment?
Compared to Q4, the volume, the price of margin has fallen down a lot. What has fallen to it? Depreciation and amortization is not big, but still the margins have fallen down. What is the reason?
Sequentially. Q4, what was the OPM?
Yeah. So I think that's the point. Perhaps you're comparing margin drop from quarter to quarter. So if I look at quarter to quarter, the
rupees crore figure has remained the same.
Rupees crore figure has remained the same on a lower volume. So that's why percentage is going up. It is not that the depreciation has gone up. The volume in Q1. This year is only 127,000 against 169,000 volume in the previous year, right? And the revenue in this quarter is lower by 22% because the Q4 is always a high volume quarter, and Q1 normally is good volume, but this year is a bad volume, and therefore there is a 22% drop in net sales for and same absolute number of depreciation. You follow me?
Yeah, just the operating leverage and the probably to some extent also the mix.
1.1% loss has happened as a percentage term because of this in the depreciation amount.
Yeah, on an overall basis, however, in spite of Q4 being a big quarter and Q1 being lower, I made the point that from not at PBIT level, but at OPM level, Q4 was 13.5% and Q1 is 14% on an M&M plus MBML basis.
Depends on lower by 0.5%.
Yeah. So we are
Sir, I get the operating leverage. I was basically coming from your commodity benefit as well as the promotional spends or launch costs that we had in last year with the three new launches. We would have thought that some trajectory improves here with those promotional spends going away and commodity tailwinds coming into the picture. But it seems that the margins have seen some compression irrespective of the operating leverage also.
I think it's a key, the volume drop is...
Yeah, so, sorry, just 1 second. This is what I have a big problem of comparing, sequential, and therefore I've always said that do year-on-year comparison. And every quarter has got huge amount of, variation. But your point about operating leverage being lower in auto's case because of a drop, is a reality one.
The contribution margin is the operating leverage playing.
Till contribution margin we have maintained it, which is basically in spite of three new products and the margin thereof, we have by model mix and the benign material cost has helped us get contributions okay. But operating leverage operates negatively beyond that. Okay?
We will end the, that was the last question. And thank you everyone for taking time to attend the call. And Raghunandan, it's back to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir, for providing us the opportunity to host the call. So, Nirav, we can please close the call for the day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.